Hi, everybody, and welcome again to our weekly podcast called Ask the Biblical Counselor. My name is Ab Abercrombie. I'm the director of the Biblical Counseling Institute, a ministry committed to the sufficiency and superiority of God's Word to be used in all matters of counseling, discipleship, and evangelism within the church. We really do believe and teach that God's Word is complete in every way, and it offers us everything that we need pertaining to life and godliness. The Bible promises that, in fact. And so each week we try to look at an issue or concern that one of our listeners sends in and to apply God's word to it, seeking the answer that the Lord has given us in advance for the types of challenges we face in the church and in day-to-day life. Once again, we appreciate our sponsoring church, Faith Family Fellowship, a Southern Baptist congregation in Spanish Fort, Alabama, and Pastor Joel Faircloth for all the support that they give us to put this information forward each week. This week, I got an interesting question I want to talk to you about that comes from a couple of parents who are believers. They're followers of Christ and are seeking to raise their children in a biblical framework, biblical worldview. And of course, it's a challenging time to do that. Everything that we believe and teach that is Christ-centered, that is biblical in orientation, really meets a counter response from the world. And our children are engaged in the culture around us. They're affected by other children, other adults, teachers, education systems, and so forth. And so it's really a time of great importance that we as Christian parents and grandparents should be pouring God's word into the hearts and minds of our children. But along those lines, the question this week was this. It said, Dr. Ab, we have a 8-year-old son who's been having a lot of problems both at school and at home. He's become very oppositional. He tends to rebel against his mother, especially, and he is not following instructions given to him by anyone in authority. Someone at the school suggested that he might have some type of psychological problem and that he would benefit from therapy. What is your opinion about therapy for children, and should we consider it as a correct approach to helping our son? That's a really good question. And, you know, children are rebellious for an important theological reason. We are fallen people. We are sinners. And even these young, adorable children that we love so much and we find so wonderful already know by according to their nature how to sin. You don't have to teach a child how to say no when he's given an instruction. You don't have to teach a child how to lie or misrepresent his position. It is in the nature of our fallen hearts. And children are going to act out these aspects of life as they grow. And certainly young children, even though they're maybe being trained in the gospel, taught the Bible, they're still going to struggle with fleshly unbelief. And they're going to be very self-centered and very focused on having things their own way. Just as we, like sheep, have all gone astray, so have our children. And so as much as we love them and as endearing as they can be, they're going to express different levels of conflict and rejection of order and structure and authority, just as we all do, sometimes well beyond childhood and into our adult lives. But with regard to therapy, let me say this. I think it's something we have to be very, very careful about regarding young children, even teenagers. I think that we've created a culture that turns so quickly to psychological professionals looking for help and ideas for our children. As a result, many, many of our children today, even children in the body of Christ, are going to counselors, therapists, psychiatrists even. So many of them are on medication these days, and we're actually trying to use worldly resources to counteract a heart condition that is endemic to all of us. Now, certainly, there are ordinary and expectable levels of sin that occur in children, and there's a need for structure and biblical response by the parents. And sometimes, though, these problems can become, shall we say, escalated or aggravated in such a way that they become more pronounced or more repetitive, more chronic, maybe even more aggressive. Well, all we have to see is that really there's a progression always underway. The Bible is very clear that if we have unrepented sin and unbelief in our hearts, that sin will grow progressively. If without repentance and without being countered in some way, sin will always lead to death. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean physical death. It could be spiritual death, death of relationships, death of success, death of all kinds of dynamics of life. But sin certainly becomes an impediment between our children and ourselves, our children and other authority figures. And so even though our children may not yet know Christ in the fullest sense, they have not been converted, born again in Christ, they still need a structural and biblical response to everything in their daily lives. And I think the trouble that we get into sometimes with our children is that we try to apply biblical principles in the context of a crisis. I have to tell you, the Bible is not exactly written as a crisis manual. Now, the Bible is all about crisis. If you read about all the stories and characters of Scripture, certainly the crisis of human life, human existence, is displayed in full view. And we can see ourselves and our own struggles play out in the pages of Scripture. But in terms of looking to Scripture and saying, here is something to say or do in the immediate crisis that's going to turn it around and make it all new, there's not a lot of that available. For example, if someone is having an anxiety attack, you can go to Philippians 4 and say, be anxious for nothing, but that does not necessarily stave off the anxiety attack at that moment. Instead, it is a book of preparation. It is a book whereby we layer the Word of God continually upon the hearts and minds of our children, upon our own hearts and minds. It becomes a curative salve. It becomes a transformational element to our lives. It brings us into confrontation with God. It brings us into peace and communion with God through our repentance and submission to His draw unto salvation. And then as believers, it trains us and sanctifies us toward the fullness of Christ's likeness. And so the Word of God is critical, but it has to be something that is applied as a routine approach, a daily ingestion of truth that really hones and shapes the heart toward Christ. And so I think that counselors, there can be biblical counselors. I'm a biblical counselor, and I have counseled children. I have counseled teenagers. But I would say that I'm very cautious about doing so and mostly prefer to work with the parents of the child so that they become the counselors to their children. Your children are looking to you. You're the first representation, physical representation of Christ in their lives. They're looking at not only what you teach, but how you live, how you deal with conflict, how you correct them, that you provide response and discipline, structure when they go awry. And it is your affection that they desire. And you are the first demonstration of what the character of God is like to children. Certainly you will be imperfect, as I am. And I have some really bad snapshots as a parent. But we want to try to be continually about this process of ingesting Scripture ourselves, being moved and trained by that Scripture so that we can properly teach it as an instruction and a preparation for the hearts of our children. So it would be very rare that I would ever say that a child or teenager should see a counselor, but would prefer to work through the parents to help the parents be the counselors and priests to their home. Now, we know what the Scriptures say, don't we? We know that in Proverbs 22, verse 6, it says to train up a child in the way that he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Well, again, I love that passage. I believe that passage. I know it's true. But it's not a passage that says, train up your child in the middle of a crisis, and it will immediately correct his behavior and change his conduct, and he will become accommodating of his parents' authority. That's not what it says. It says, train up, as if in continually, perpetually train up your child in the way of the Lord. And when he's old, as he grows, he will not depart from it. That, again, you probably already know, is not a guarantee that by training your children in the gospel and in biblical truth, that he or she will become a believer. We pray earnestly. It ought to be the heartbeat of every parent to, above all else, to seek the conversion of our children, the coming to Christ through the gospel. And I think our primary role is to help our children have the opportunity to hear and know the Word of God and to be drawn by God, if he so wills, that our children could be born again. Now, when the Bible says that when he's old, he won't be able to depart from it, it just means that he can't get it off of himself. It's been inlaid upon his heart and mind, hopefully by and through his parents. Now, a child may become an adult and reject that truth, refuse to receive it, but that truth is still going to be there. It's going to be a part of that person's mind and conscience going forward, and will continue to affect that person, that it will be harder for them to simply deny their sinful nature and deny the remedy of Christ. Now, we also know from Ephesians 6, Paul writes, he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Well, we can say that scripture and teach that to our children when they're being disobedient, but it's most important to teach that theme of truth throughout everything we do on a daily basis with our children, that the obedience of your parents is also obedience to God. Verse 2 of chapter 6, it says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. That's the promise of biblical obedience coming to children. Now, but it goes one step further and turns at this point to the parents. And it says in verse 4, specifically to the father, specifically to the headship of the home, Paul writes, fathers, do not provoke your children in anger, but rather bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, we would say, I would never provoke my child to wrath. I would not provoke him or her to anger. But you see, whenever we take an approach that is flesh-driven, I'm angry, I'm embarrassed by your conduct, I'm wanting you to obey me no matter how you feel about it. If I'm acting out of the flesh, I will provoke wrath and anger in my child. It is important upon me that I retain biblical conscience and biblical awareness so that I'm responding to my child calmly and in proper truth and with proper consistency. So that when my child is in the moment of disobedience, that's not probably the first time he or she is going to hear from me biblical truths like obey your mother and father in the Lord. When this has been a theme that's been taught to them from the very earliest age, and then controversy arises, conflict comes up, the child is going to know and anticipate, expect that you as the parent are going to deal with them biblically. And so then you're applying a truth that has already been expressed numerous times in many different ways throughout the course of their life. And in fact, you really become to be the one reminding them of truth rather than trying to forge a new truth in the midst of a really conflicted and struggling situation. So that, again, that constant preparation, that constant counseling of our children in the nature and way of God is really critical in helping them as they grow. Now, there's a great text that really reminds us of just how critical this matter is. And the text is in Deuteronomy 6, where the Israelites are about to cross over into the promised land. After all their many years of struggle, sin, confusion, the many fights and efforts that took place to come to this place, they're on the precipice of entering this promised land, the land of Canaan. And God gives some tremendous instructions to his people. And so much of that instruction has to do with the heritage of that spiritual truth going not only through the fathers and grandfathers, but down to their children, to the next generation and the generation even beyond that. It is a great lesson in the spiritual integrity and the spiritual inheritance that we are called to commit to our children. And this is where counseling takes place, not just when there's a crisis, but it takes place every day, every week, every year, so that when crisis comes, and it will come, the child's heart is already in a state of preparation, may not even be converted yet. The child may be too young to have fully received and accepted the gospel. The child may still be struggling with coming to Christ and being drawn by Christ. But the truth is going to be there, layer upon layer, as we teach and instruct our children. That's what biblical counseling really is. It's not just intervening when there's a problem, but it's intervening every day so that our children are in an ever-growing state of preparation to deal with life. Now, let's look at Deuteronomy 6. It's a wonderful passage. I love it so much. And it says in verse 1, it says, "Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the judgments, which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you're going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and all his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey." That's how he begins. Moses giving this instruction of God to his people that they must remember and teach this reverence, this fear of God, the Almighty, that your son and your grandson might fear the Lord and to keep his statutes and commandments, which I command you. So obviously that cannot be ingested and memorized and lodged upon the heart in such a way as to protect the children in one application. Moses is really telling us to be committed constantly, perpetually, continually to the relaying of these truths, this law, these statutes, these matters of great importance to the human heart, always with our children. He goes on in the next verse, in verse 4, he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be" where? They shall be on your heart. "You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." You know, just reading that, you get a sense of the urgency, the importance that God is conveying here, that this has to be a matter of constant preoccupation. Oh my goodness, we're preoccupied with so many things, aren't we? School, which is important, you know, sports, important, recreation, not bad, not a problem. But he's saying that no matter what you're doing, integrate within all of those things, this preoccupation, this focus, this perpetual attention to the character of God, the requirements of God, the blessings, the grace of God. We're teaching these things continually to our children. You bind them as a sign on your hand. They're close to you. They're frontals. They're right on your forehead. They're near to you. You put them on the door frame of your home and you recite them. But the importance here, I think, is not just what we're teaching our children, but what we're teaching ourselves. If we're our if we're the counselors to our children, if we're the priests of our homes, we have to be transformed people. We have to be people bearing spiritual fruit in all the ways that we go about interacting with our children. So part of the most important benefit of this instruction from the Lord is that we are being constantly inundated with God's word, God's truth, and that we keep at the forefront of our mind the worship of God and God only, above all other things, and never let anything distract us from that focus, so that whether our child is dealing with a bad grade or angry outbursts or selfishness or whatever the problem may be, we're going back again and again to the gospel. We're going to the fallen nature of the human heart. We're going to the grandeur and the wonder and the magnificence of God, his great character, the purity of his nature, his drawing and call unto salvation, his demand for submission and honor, worship, all of these things that we teach continually. And, you know, we teach them when times are good, and we teach them when times are not so good. If all we do is employ scripture when our child is in trouble, we're missing the point entirely. If I only bring up scripture as a way to correct my child or rebuke my child, then we're giving the child a very skewed understanding of what scripture is about. Because we don't turn to scripture only when our hearts are burdened. We don't turn to scripture only when the crisis has beset. Instead, we are in scripture as a course of daily life sustenance. It is our nourishment. It is our completeness in every way. And so the only way that I'll be able to keep this priority focus on scripture is that I'm ingesting and taking in the working of that word in my own heart and life every day. So we don't refer to counselors very often, because I'm probably stepping out of my obligation when I do so. That's not to say that we don't ever seek wise counsel. Certainly pastors are critical to our instruction. God has appointed them to teach us and train us in God's word and its application to our lives. And many youth pastors can be used in that way. Even biblical counselors can be used in that way. But the bottom line is that that counselor should push you toward self-examination, toward your proper use of scripture, your ingestion of scripture and prayer on a daily basis, so that your heart is always prepared for the challenges that are going to come. There's a great battle around you constantly for your family. The enemy wants the soul of your child. And we don't want to transfer that responsibility to a counselor or to somebody else. God has entrusted you with his word to be the bearers of truth to your children. Okay? You're dealing with their salvation, really, not just the control of their behavior. We can control children's behavior mostly till they're teenagers. And then they get big enough to kind of push back and they think they're intelligent enough to out-debate us and so forth. And so you don't want to get there. You don't want to wait till they're 13 or 15 to start conveying scripture. You have to begin when they're babies. You have to talk of scriptural themes, tell them scriptural stories, tell them about characters in the Bible, tell them about God's nature and how he created them and how they were skillfully wrought, how they were brought about into this world as in the image of God, and how sin corrupts and brings us into a detachment from God, and how the gospel gives us remedy and gives us peace before God. All of these things must be taught in a continual loop, never getting away from it. Oh, we'll get away from it. We're going to sin. We're going to fail at moments. We're going to have some bad snapshots, as I said before. We want to come back quickly to the theme. The theme is truth. The theme never changes, gratefully, so I don't have to learn a new truth every day or every year. There's not some new parenting philosophy that's going to trump Scripture. There's not some psychological approach that's going to be better than what God has already provided us. So we're constantly preparing our hearts so that we can prepare our children's hearts. God warns Israel in this continuing passage that you do these things so that when you come into this land flowing with milk and honey, and you get all these great and wondrous things, these cisterns and these orchards that you did not plant, cisterns you did not dig, he warns us that when we're fat and content, that we don't forget him. Because stress and conflict is hazardous to the walk of a Christian, but so is abundance. And the whole purpose of this preparation is so that when challenges come, even the challenge of ease and plentiness, that we don't get deceived to believe that there is something in us that is capable of managing our life, that we need the Lord to really be our all in all. So again, wise counsel from properly trained biblical counselors, not necessarily a bad thing. Certainly counsel from pastors, discipleship leaders, not a bad thing. But be very careful about whether I really want to consider giving my child to psychological counseling. I think it's not an appropriate process. It's not something that the Bible really endorses. But instead, the Bible teaches us to be prepared spiritually, biblically, so that we can prepare our children in the way that they should go. You're the best counselor your child has. I promise you. And if you're a believing Christian and you hold to God's word and you uphold it and teach it to the best of your ability to understand, and you get counsel when needed to help you understand so that you can teach your children, that is the better way to go. Don't turn your child over to a professional. You're the one God appointed. And that's the best way to teach, best way to encourage your child toward the matters of life and godliness. So thank you again for being with us. I look forward to talking to you again next week. And we'll look at some other questions as they come along. Please write to me if you have something you want to ask. Just send it to my email. That's ab@bcinstitute.com. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you, God, indeed, for the blessing of children. And Lord, we know that with raising children, there will be challenges. There will be a spiritual battle for the very soul of that child. And we pray that you will empower us, God, by your word and the working of your spirit, that we will be consistent and faithful in every way to convey all that is true about our Savior and about his structure for life. God, teach us how to teach our children that they may come to know you, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Have a great week.